Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Anthony Johnson, and welcome to this edition of the Anthony Johnson Show. Glad to be back. Just looking forward to waiting for our special guest, Mr. Jeremy Goldsmith. Looking forward to having him be the call-in guest on tonight, this evening show. As we wait for him, can talk a little bit about what's going on in America. You guys know that Tillerson, Rex Tillerson, former Secretary of State, has left the cabinet. Well, he was fired from the cabinet. Your president, Donald Trump, not mine. Once it goes back to what I said time and time again, guys. This is without a shadow of a doubt, this is the absolute worst president this country has produced. I mean, I've said this in on social media and in my writings and stuff. We've had some really, really bad presidents. But I think Donald Trump is by far the absolute worst. He's just not doing what is necessary to run this country. But you shouldn't be shocked at what he's done up to this point. You shouldn't be. I'm not. His supporters, it goes back to that I've said time and time again. When you have a friend, and you, the individual, make a lot of dumb mistakes, but you got all these people around you that won't say anything. The truest friend is the one that tells you that you're screwing up. Tillerson leaving, I think Tillerson probably told this ditz that, you really are woefully unprepared to lead this nation. And that's, unfortunately, that's where we are. It's unfortunate. It really is, and I hope they can turn things around. As long as this guy is in office, this is really going to be bad. So, Jeremy?
Yep. Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, welcome. Welcome to the show. Glad you were able to come in, stop by. Appreciate it. How are you this Friday evening?
I'm doing fantastic. It's a pleasure to be here. We've been talking about this moment happening for so long. I'm happy we're finally here.
Yes, sir. I'm glad that you're here as well. The audience, my audience is not global. Actually, it is kind of global. I got people that listen in other countries, parts of Europe, Mexico. But, they were saying, Anthony, you're going to start having, more guests like you used to. We love that segment. So, absolutely. I said, so when I decided to have somebody, I said, you're right. I said, Jeremy and I have been talking about this for a while, and it just seems like our schedules could never kind of connect. But I said, I reached out to you, was it late last year? And I was like, man, you got to come on the show, man. You're out here doing some things that that people need to know about. So Jeremy, briefly, can you tell the audience a little bit about yourself, man?
Absolutely. So my name is Jeremy. I'm 23 years old. Most known for being a hip hop act around the city. I go by Internal Rhyme. Aside from performing and recording around the city, I'm also pretty involved. In various social activism. I'm involved in the Jewish community in Philadelphia. I graduated from Rutgers, where I was pretty involved in social activism up there, which is something that I don't get to talk about a lot, but it's something that Anthony and I really connect on. That's pretty much the basis of me.
Now you just got your master's not that recently. So tell the audience about that.
Yeah, thank you for bringing that up. Yeah, so I did just get my master's degree in social work from Temple University, which I'm proud to say I just graduated this past December. And, yeah, it went by really quickly. It's very weird still to say that I have a master's.
So, ladies and gentlemen, you got to keep put this in perspective. This young man, you know, is out here, activist, doing great things. 23 with a master's in social work. I mean, you know, boy, if we could just, if we could get our 30-year-olds to start to focus on, you know, doing things in the community and at the same time getting a education. I mean that's really the what's important for us in society, you know, to educate ourselves and get the knowledge that's being offered by those who've been here and who can, you know, who are, you know, are in the twilight years of their careers, of their lives, of their social activism, but they're saying, hey, I want to pass the mantle. So, you know, Jeremy, like at 23 years old, all the stuff that you've done, you know, before 23, is, you know, how I grew up is like you're what they call an old soul. My grandmother would say, he's been here before. Like, oh, he's, you know, like he's been here. What do you mean? Oh, he's been here on earth before. Like, really? Okay, we'll take that. But,
I was just gonna say that's such a beautiful compliment. That's like one of the nicest things I could identify.
The old soul. You know, a lot of people, and I know, like in African American community, have heard that before. They'll say, oh, when they see a young person like yourself doing these things that, you know, that you normally see people who are, you know, older, you know, doing, they say, wow, that's an old soul. That person's been here. It's like he's been here before. Because you don't see it. It's an anomaly. And it's not just the 21st century. Every generation has those anomaly of young adults who are doing like really magnificent things that you normally don't see. So keep that up. So let me ask you this. What was your motivation to become a rap artist? Now, what was your motivation?
Yeah, so honestly, when I was a kid, I just ended up, like, being around rap music a lot. A lot of, like, the younger people in my family, like my cousins and just, like, I don't know, other, like, family friends really loved rap music. So I just ended up, like, really loving it by the time I was, like, 7 or 8 years old. And then from there, I liked it so much that I just, like, kind of started trying it myself, and it was just fun at first, and then it kind of, you know, eventually over time became pretty, like, therapeutic and also really fun. And so, yeah, I just, like, never really gave it up.
Do you, was there any, in addition to being influenced by, you know, family members, was there any artists out there that you were like, wow, this person, they moved me, you know, they, you know?
Yeah, definitely. So at first, like, the first rappers I can remember like being exposed to were Eminem and Biggie, who both like for different reasons I love. Like Eminem, I just thought like the way he rhymed was so impressive, and Biggie was just like really smooth and, you know, like so good to listen to. And then like as soon as I started kind of digging into it myself, Tupac was someone who just always moved me. I just like found, you know, incredibly intelligent and just such a passionate speaker. And then, you know, he was like the perfect example of somebody who was so integrated in music and integrated in the community that he was talking about. And it was, you know, that just really moved me from a whole different standpoint.
It's interesting that you mentioned Eminem. I think one of the greatest compliments that Eminem got was from the great Rakim. And he said, and paraphrasing him, he said that it wouldn't have mattered what era of rap that Eminem would have been in, he would have been the absolute best. And I remember reading that interview, and I was like, wow. Like, you know, Rakim is still considered one of the best four rap artists of all time. I mean, if he's not in your top five,
like,
people tell you throw the list away. So when he paid that compliment to Eminem, I was like, wow. And you, but what it was interesting is because you're one of the first people, I think the first person that I know that loved that was a fan of Pac, Biggie, Pac and Biggie. People that I've come across, it's either they either like Pac or they like Biggie. It's never like oh, I love both of them. It might be like, oh, I love Pac. Biggie, all right. Oh, I love Biggie. Pac is all right. You know, but when you mention those three rap artists right there, they're always in most people's top five. People who know me, whether people I grew up with or on social media, they know that I am a huge Tupac fan. I believe that Tupac defined a generation. When I equate, there are two artists. One is an actor, and then one in is Tupac. That I felt like that they dominated their generation. That one was Tupac, of course, and the other guy was James Dean. Like when people talk about like cool and who was influential in the 50s, a lot of people always say Elvis. I said, but when you talk to those men, them young men that grew up, you know, during that time, you talk to them today, they said, no, I mean, Elvis did what he did for them, but they were huge fans of James Dean. James Dean, for his, that generation, he was the ultimate cool guy. And Pac was always that conflicted artist. Like you see a lot of artists today, they try to be conflicted, but it wasn't, for Pac, it was never an act. It was like this guy was constantly wrestling with his demons. One of my friends who's a psychologist said that Pop actually should have been on meds because this is how, you know, how at times it was really rough for him wrestling with his internal struggle. But did others say that's what made him such a great artist because of that internal? I mean, because he could be talking about positivity one minute and then he could be like, you know, screw the bees and holes. Like, wow, okay. I always felt that deep. Eminem, go ahead.
Now, I was going to say the fact that Pac is like that, I feel like it's something that like helped me open my eyes so much. Like he was just he's such an honest artist in terms of like not pretending that like you can be really conscious one minute, but then also like you have these sides of you that maybe you're not as proud of, but like, you know, sometimes you just have fun and you let it slip. Like,
I tell everybody, if you haven't seen the movie All Eyes on Me, you should watch it, because everything what you just said resonates. That movie resonates what you just said about him, and it was deep. You know, so let me ask you this, Jeremy. We're talking about great rap artists and great music. You know, and for me, I was born in '69, late '70s, and all of the '80s and early '90s. About '95 when I was like, okay, rap. After 95, I said, okay, hip-hop is going in a direction that I don't like. Do you think rap music of today has lost its way? And if so, what needs to happen to get the genre of music back on track?
It's hard to, like, so that, yeah, that question is hard to give a direct answer to. In one sense, it's taken a very different direction. It's sonically, the entire sound of it is different, and also the content of what people are talking about is different. And on one hand, like, you know, I try to have a respect for that. You know, even if it's not always something that I personally enjoy, I try to respect that, like, okay, you know, genres are going to develop, kind of moves with, like, culture and American culture and, you know, whatever, I mean, it's global at this point, but, you know, whoever, wherever these things are coming from. But, like, yeah, I mean, it's definitely taken a different direction, and it's kind of hard to see that loss sometimes. I don't think that it's that, like, artists like Tupac don't exist anymore, but they're just not really given the light that they deserve. I do think that I genuinely believe that there are a lot of incredible hip-hop artists out there that still, you know, speak with that, you know, maybe aren't as legendary as Tupac, but still speak with that same honesty or still speak on the same social issues, but they're just, you know, like the media is just not interested in it. It's much easier to just focus on, you know, like whatever drug is popular at the moment or, you know, whatever dance or anything.
I'm laughing because when you talk about the music of the day, I can't remember this rap artist's name, but he's from Florida, but he's real popular. And boy, I mean, he got a chance to do what Black Thought did. The radio station gave this guy, some time to get on there and spit lyrics, and he was just.
Is it Kodak Black?
It might have been. It might have been him, but this guy was.
It sounds
awesome.
Like
even
it might
the people,
be.
Even the people that like him said that was some BS. They was like, man, I don't know what that boy was on, but that was absolutely horrific. You know, when you hear guys like Black Thought, you know, and when I heard that, it just you can close your eyes and it took you back. When he did that little more than 10 minute freestyle, I mean, you know, it covered. He could have done this in any point in time in the history of hip hop. He could have done it in the late 60s, all of the 70s, all of the 80s, and all of the 90s, and it would have still resonated, still been relevant, which I just thought was absolutely phenomenal. And I just feel like, you know, today, you know, I think, like you said, there's some guys that I've heard, like underground rap artists, that I'm like, wow, this person, he or she, they're pretty darn good. Why aren't these guys out here? But, like, it has gone really a lot commercial now. It's not really about the music. It's really about gimmicks. It's like, what, you know, it's more gimmicky. Music, the rap music today is more gimmicky. It's not, there's not a lot of substance there, in my opinion, as somebody, a true lover of music.
Yeah. I really feel like.
Let me ask you this. Oh, go ahead. No, go on.
No, I was just going to say on that note, I mean, I definitely agree. On that note, I kind of feel like it's like, I feel like hip hop has kind of moved with like a capitalist mindset, like especially because America is just, you know, like controls so much of it. I feel like, you know, like record labels who, you know, these like suit and tie executives who, you know, like who never go to the studio, but like control the flow of money through things. Like it's just
right.
Such a money game that like the money is like if they decide like, okay, this song about like, such and such drug with like no, you know, with that barely
right.
rhymes, like they know that people
right.
are going to sing it, you know, then they'll put the money into it and then it's just the money flow. And it's a shame because like, you know, especially in America, money controls so much.
Absolutely. I agree 100%. It, you know, so do you think, does it need to change?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely should not, I don't think we should dig any deeper into like the, you know, like, I guess like the materialism that rap digs for right now. I don't, and again,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
like, I think everybody deserves to have fun. Like everybody deserves to like be silly. And like, I think it's cool. And I think that even like new sounds that get experimented with, you know, like I think it's cool to move the genre in new directions and experiment, but I think that like we do need to give limelight back to things like that Black Thought freestyle. And what was so cool about that is that the fact that that freestyle was so popular and it was like, okay, cool. Like people do still like this. Like people will
right.
support it.
Yeah, I agree. And I mean, it touched on. Now, besides Tupac, I mean, and Biggie and Eminem, were there any of the old school rap artists that you found appealing?
Yeah, well, I'm glad you mentioned Rakim. Rakim was someone who, I guess, like, it took me a little while I didn't know about Rakim until I saw Juice and then heard that,
uh-huh.
and then heard Know the Ledge. And then that's, like,
mm-hmm.
what made me dig into Eric B. and Rakim. And so Rakim was someone who, I guess maybe I was, like, 13 or 14 when I first discovered Eric B. and Rakim. And that really was, like, crazy, especially because Rakim was so ahead of his time, too. Like, I always try to put people in perspective of, like, how was this guy rhyming compared to everyone else who was rhyming that year? And Rakim was doing... Like the techniques he used, I feel like people didn't start using for another like 10 years.
Yeah, he was one of those rap artists that was ahead of his time. I mean, he was like a fine wine. Even and again, when he goes out and tour every so often now, it's still the stuff he says is still relevant. Let me ask you this question. Go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say I don't know if you heard, but he just announced that he has a show in Philly coming up pretty soon in the next couple months. I forget the exact date.
All right. Well, yeah, I definitely want to go see that show because I know it's going to be good. Let me ask you this question. Does your music address any social issues that concern you? So when you're flowing, are you touching on some of the social issues? Because it's something that you said before you answered that question. There's a lot of rap artists today, like you said, the corporate guys. It's like, no. We don't want to be controversial. It should just all be about fun, drugs, sex, and rock and roll. Does your music address any social issues that concern you?
Yeah, so definitely. I definitely try to touch on social issues as much as I can, or as much as, you know, I guess I feel appropriate. But I definitely, I mean, it's such a part of me. Like, caring about social activism is really an important part of who I am. So I feel like, it's, you know, it is important to express that in my music. So sometimes it's political. You know, I did chime in the beginning with the whole Trump rant, and I definitely appreciated that. So sometimes it's political, you know, and it's just like, you know, at this like backwards, at these like crooked backwards politicians.
Right.
Sometimes it's like, you know, kind of like social inequality. Sometimes I like to talk about inequality that doesn't necessarily directly affect me, you know, but that I play a part of, especially like, and I feel like as, especially as a white rapper too, like I kind of have a responsibility to care about issues about communities like the African American community, because like I'm participating in something that was started by a culture that isn't mine. And because I can like appreciate something so heavily by this culture and use it to my own advantage, you know, it's also my responsibility to like care about social issues that affect cultures that I'm not even a part of.
Yeah, I mean, and to hear you say that, you know, it's, you know, it's always good to know that, you know, that you have a compassion and you understand the responsibility. I think that's another thing that's lacking with rap artists today. They don't take a responsibility about hip hop. It's like, you know, it's not just for you to come in and just do what you want to do, make money and keep going. It's supposed to be nurtured, it's supposed to be loved, and you get something from it, as not just from the money aspect, but a passion, a love. And then your job is to then pass it on to say, okay, I'm going to give you an opportunity. Like, a lot of people don't like 50 Cent. But what I do like, I like him. You know, it's a secret. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like him. But, you know, but now I'm like, I like 50 Cent. So there you have it. But one thing that several interviews that I've listened to, he said that, you know, what he doesn't like is he said about the hip hop artists today. He said a lot of these guys that's been in the game for a long time, they won't step aside and give a lot of the people that's coming into the game, won't give them the opportunity. You know, and that's something that 50 Cent, a lot of people don't talk about. He actually did that. You know, when once he really got out there and his first album was like, you know, gangbusters, he started putting other young acts on, giving them the opportunity. He felt like that the rap artists of the, you know, at the time, who had been in the game for a long time, it was still about them and not trying to give opportunities for, you know, the up and coming. Like, give them the opportunity to shine like New Money. And they were not doing it.
Yeah.
Like in the 80s, you know, and then going into the 90s, those rap artists, you know, were stepping aside saying, look, man, let these other guys go out here and see what they can do. And then we'll step back and watch and see what they do with this wonderful culture, this wonderful music. And then, you know, we'll talk to you later. So, you know, a decade goes by. So now you're starting to see those artists from the 80s and the early 90s say, look, man, you guys are really not doing a good job at taking care of being caretakers of such a genre. So it's refreshing to see and to hear somebody like yourself to come out and say, you know, I know I owe a debt to doing something that I know the history of, and I know what those who came before me, what they had to endure to get where, you know, to get the music is where it is today. So that's why when I hear a lot of people decry the rap game now, it's like, you know, they have a legitimate reason.
Yeah, and that's speaking on that note, I feel like this is a really good week for, like, that topic to come up. I don't know if you, do you know who Lil Xan is? Have you heard about him?
No.
So Lil Xan is a new age rapper, as I'm sure you can guess from his name. And I actually do, I like some of his music. Like, it's very, you know, it's very, like, new school. But it's got, like, sonically it's good. But he came out and, like, he's been getting a lot of heat this week because in some interview he said that they were, like, asking him to rate random things 1 to 10 on, like, how much – I forget, like, how much swag they had or something like that, how much sauce they had or something. And then they said Tupac, and he gave Tupac, like, a 2. And he was like, yeah, okay. Just, like, I don't know. I'm just not that into him. Like, I just never got it.
Okay.
And that's, like – and that brought up a lot of heat this week, which, like, you know, again, I really like the new era of music, but also, like, I don't know, if you can't appreciate, you know, whether or not Tupac was, like, for your taste. No, go ahead.
No, I see what you're saying. We're running a little short on time, but I you got to come back. I got to get you to come back because we got a whole lot more to talk about. But I understand. Listen, if he doesn't like Tupac, he want to give him a rate. That's him. I mean, there are people, like, look at me, you know, and say when they talk about certain rap artists today, I'm like, no, that guy just doesn't. Like, when I say Jay-Z, I'm like, I like Jay-Z, but Jay-Z is not, for me, he's not in my top 20. Heck, Jay-Z is not in my top 30. They, what? Oh, my goodness. Then you're not a real hip-hop artist. I'm like, why? You know, I've listened to everything that he's ever put out. You know, I like some of his stuff, but he's not on my list. I like some of his stuff, but when I start sitting down and putting my top 5, my top 10, my top 20, my top 50, I said he may be in the top 50, but he's not in that top 40, he's not in that top 30, top 20. You know, it's taste. So, you know, and maybe sometimes, you know, the gimmick goes back to what I said, Jeremy. It's also a gimmick, too, because they could also be doing, the young man could also be doing it because he knows that if he says something about pop, everybody gonna go out. Well, I'm gonna go out and buy his stuff and see what he talking about. Thank you. I just sold. Right. I just sold a million copies for saying I think Pac on a scale of 1 to 10 gets a 2. So yeah, man. So look, I'm gonna give you the last word. We got 2 minutes and 37 seconds. What do you want to say? Any shameful plug? Please feel free.
For sure, absolutely. So again, Anthony, first of all, I just want to thank you for having me on the show. It is a pleasure. I always love keeping in touch, and especially seeing what you're doing in the community and how involved politically you've been lately. So, you know, I'm glad to be a part of, you know, helping us build together. Aside from that, you know, I just want to say, anyone listening to the show, if you do want to keep up with my music, I would love to know your thoughts on it. Again, my name is Internal Rhyme. You can find me on Spotify, Apple Music, SoundCloud, really any listening platform. And all social medias, Instagram, Twitter, and such. And lastly, I just want to say thank you, you know, to everyone who I don't know who's listening, and thank you especially to those who I do know who tuned in. My girlfriend Amanda, my boys BJ, Chad, Kyle, Nick, anyone else tuned in right now. And, yeah, thank you for having me.
Well, thanks, man, for coming on this show. Like I said, you got to come back. And because we can talk about so much, and yeah, the next time you come back, I want to basically specifically talk about your music, you know, and,
cool.
And have you talk and go into depth about, you know, what it takes and how do you do it. And if there's any secrets, you know, that you want to share with, you know, again, the next generation that's coming up who listen to your music and say, hey, you know, I need to know what I need to do to get where he is. So thank you so much, man, for coming on the show. And like I said, I definitely want you to come back.
Yeah, thank you. I'm excited excited for our next chat.
Thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, that does it for this edition of the Anthony Johnson Show. As you know that I am running for state representative in November 2018, and I hope you come on out and support me in this venture. I thank you for those who continuously support this show. We've been going on for 4 seasons now, and I'm just thankful that I'm able to do this. And shameful plug for me, Bonnie K, who was the one that felt that I should do something like this 4 years ago. So much love to you. Miss you dearly. And good night, ladies and gentlemen.